Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Being received by college football programs at 7 a.m. Central Time, whatever time zone you're in, at 7 a.m. on Wednesday. We're less than 48 hours away from the big day, which is right around the corner. Man, I tell you what, it kind of snuck up on us, but it is here, this final stretch run to National Signing Day is upon us. It is Monday. On Wednesday, all the sparks fly, and it's going to I'll be honest with you guys. I've never seen anything like this in terms of covering Ole Miss recruiting, where there are so many big targets this late in the game that you can't put your finger on exactly what they're going to do. We can talk to sources. We can talk to the prospects. We can talk to the parents of the prospects. Still left with having to kind of jigsaw puzzle all of that together and come up with what is at best a feeling. And the ground is constantly moving. I put that on the message board a lot, and sometimes people message me and ask me, what am I talking about? Well, what is today may not be tomorrow. What was yesterday may not ever be again. And I'm not trying to go all philosophical on you here, but things change. You got one spot left in your class for, let's say, a kicker. We're going to say kicker here, okay? So that we're not insinuating anything about anybody who's out there on the board right now. One spot left in your class for kicker. You got two that want to come. Both of them are very, very good. One of them's not going to come. And if he doesn't come, then it's going to look like you lost him to someone else. That's not always the case. You can't take 50 kickers just because all 50 want to come, particularly if you only have one spot. And I just put something up on the board. 9 doesn't go into 6 no matter how you shake it. You can't make it happen. There are 6 spots left in this class. So don't immediately jump to the doomsday theory if an Ole Miss target were to commit to another school sometime between now and Wednesday. Or if an Ole Miss commit were to not honor that commitment through Wednesday, don't immediately go to the dark side and go, oh, my God, we didn't get this kid. I can't believe we didn't get this kid, because there are things happening underneath the surface. And that's the thing that I think you have to realize in the next 48 hours. Look, we're going to report to you when we can report to you what we think is reportable. And what we report at noon today, by 4 o'clock this afternoon, may not be the case anymore. But we're going to keep you informed every step of the way. That's our goal, to keep you as best informed as we possibly can every step of the way. But remember, things are changing hourly over the next 46 hours or so. Get to that 7 a.m. mark on signing day. And then, of course, we've all been through the drama of signing day. Things change on signing day. Lots and lots of suspense. I'm David Johnson, joined along by Dave Bevin. I don't know if Michael Quirk has made it to the broadcast yet. Michael, are you here?
Not yet. He's not on yet, David. We're still looking for him.
The sleep monster may have gotten Michael. There's been very little of that.
He had a busy day yesterday.
Couple of weeks. Yeah. It's I've had a lot of busy days right in a row, and I'm blessed to have them. I appreciate all of you guys following the exciting coverage on Rebels 247. Okay, so table right there in terms of how to follow what's going to be breaking over the next couple of days. You know, again, you know, things are moving. This is a moving target, this recruiting class. It's just not stationary, and you go, okay, we offered these guys, we offered this guy 3 years ago. He's filled a spot. No, that doesn't work that way. Schools fill spots. Offers disappear, even at the last second. So keep that in mind as we move forward. Now, let's talk about the big weekend. No commitments over the weekend. That did not come as a shock. I really don't think anybody thought that there was a commitment imminent over the weekend. A couple of possibilities that it could have happened, but you get out of the weekend without any commitments. 22 members of this class as we speak right now. Magic number we've been throwing around for quite some time is 27. I think it's going to stretch out to 28 if things break Ole Miss's way. So let's use that number moving forward, at least as of this moment. So six more additions to this class. Who do I think is in? Again, let me preface this by saying it could be different tonight. Because you have kids making decisions. You have schools making decisions. And things can get shaken up in a split second. But who do I have confidence in as far as being in this class right now? Four-star safety Deontay Anderson. I think he's in. Five-star defensive end Jeffrey Simmons. Four-star cornerback Shyam Carter. I have pretty good confidence. Doesn't mean that'll be the same tonight, but pretty good confidence in those guys, as well as Florida tight end Jacob Mathis. And it's kind of taken me a little while to swing around on Shyam Carter, because I can tell you now, talking to Alabama sources, and I talked to them this morning, Alabama remains confident on Shyam Carter. But Ole Miss, my sources at Ole Miss, extremely confident on Shyam Carter. They think he's in at this moment. So those are the guys that I feel really, really good about. And last night, now, I had Shy Carter. I'm moving him up to the very good category this morning. Now, as far as the pretty goods right now, last night I had A.J. Brown, as I mentioned, Shy Carter, Nigel Knott, and Jonathan Kongbo in the pretty goods. I'm going to keep A.J. Brown in the pretty good. I'm going to keep Jonathan Kongbo in the pretty good, and I'm hearing some very good things about Kongbo and Ole Miss this morning. As I mentioned, we elevated Shy Carter up to the very good category. Nigel Knott, I'm dropping down to the still in it. Simply because of the intel I've gathered this morning, I feel like if he does announce at 1:30 this afternoon right now, and it's about 8 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, I think Nigel Knott is going to Alabama. The still in it category, Terrell Hall, Mike Juarez, Michael Jones, Marcel Southall, Courtney Davis. We'll keep Terrell Hall in the still in it category. We're going to keep Mike Juarez in the still-in-it category, though I will tell you, I crystal-balled him to UCLA last night after talking to numerous national sources. Michael Jones, it's a numbers game. You know, I think at this point we can talk a little bit about the fact that basically Ole Miss told him last week that they could guarantee him a spot depending on how things broke. Obviously, Michael Jones decided not to come to Oxford over the weekend. I think he's pretty much in the same boat with Alabama right now. It's a wait-and-see game with Michael Jones. And that underscores, a lot of these guys who carry it out to the end of the process, well, get ready, because that's what you have to deal with. If you're going to be a signing day decision, the shuffling ground that we always talk about. Defense tackle Marcel Southall, not a lot from him over his weekend official visit. He's still in the still in it category. I think Ole Miss may have some sights set on some other targets at that position right now. Courtney Davis, wide receiver out of Texas. We felt like he's going to Texas A&M all along, but there's still a possibility, depending on how things break with this class, that Davis could possibly have the opportunity to play at Ole Miss. Long shots, Kobe Jones, Rashawn Gary. I've written both of those off. I think Kobe Jones is going to Mississippi State. I think Rashawn Gary is going to Michigan. So that's where I stand with them. So pretty good category. A.J. Brown stays in it. What's going to happen with A.J. Brown? I can tell you this much. I have confirmed this morning that we reported yesterday that his dad told us that he was planning to meet with Mike Bianco before he left Ole Miss campus yesterday. And that his dad also confirmed he has not met with Mississippi State baseball coach John Cohen. And why does that matter? Well, because according to Arthur Brown, A.J.'s father, A.J. plans to play both college football and college baseball. I confirmed with our Alabama sources this morning that he has had a meeting with the Alabama baseball staff. So out of those three schools that most figure are his finalists, and I mean, I think Cal is window dressing, but he is still being mentioned by the Brown camp, Cal is. He's met with baseball coaches at Ole Miss, we think, can't confirm that he actually did that, but Arthur Brown, I was standing there looking at him when he told me they were going to meet with Mike Bianco yesterday before they left Oxford. We can confirm that based off that, he's likely met with Ole Miss and Alabama baseball coaches, not Mississippi State baseball coaches. And if you're going to play college baseball at the school you're going to, Dave, wouldn't you think that you would have met with the baseball coach?
I agree there, David. That is a huge significance to what AJ plans to do. If you're going to play college baseball and college football, you need to talk to both of those coaches. And if he has not done that with Mississippi State, and his father confirmed to the media yesterday that has not happened, and so that does play a significant role in his recruitment, I would say. And then, there have been some questions out there, is he going to announce his commitment on signing day at his local high school inside the gym or in an office? Those are some questions thrown out there. We have not had any confirmation that I've heard of yet.
Well, I'm not digging on any confirmation on that, because I think it matters about as much as a bump on your butt where A.J. Brown announces his decision on Wednesday. You know, there are some people going, oh, there's no way that he'll go inside a gymnasium full of Mississippi State Bulldog fans and commit to Ole Miss. Oh, yeah? Well, Jeremy Liggins committed on the square to LSU. I don't think A.J. Brown's the kind of kid that nor his family, that's going to be intimidated by him announcing mm-hmm. what he's going to do, and no matter where he does it at. I'm just not buying into that. Well, if he does it in a broom closet inside the janitor's office, then he's going to go to Ole Miss. Come on. And to hell with anyone who would try to ruin that kid's signing day, no matter where he's going to school. That's my opinion on that. I mean, and I felt the same way about Ole Miss fans who would want to do anything to say Jeremy Liggins when he announced on the square. I don't usually curse, but damn it, that's that kid's decision. You know why? Because he's the one that's bled. He's the one that's sweated. And anybody, any idiot that holds that against a kid or his family, well, I mean, you're despicable. I'll just say that. And I usually don't get that riled up, but I'm going to tell you what. If A.J. Brown goes to Mississippi State on Wednesday, wonderful. Because you know what? He's earned that right. If he goes to Ole Miss, the reaction in that community ought to be wonderful. Might not be. but it ought to be. And, that's the thing that gets me. Fans who think they know what's going on in that process. I mean, that is such a pressure-packed process for that young man. All of these young men.
Mm-hmm.
As to where they're going to go to school. Why? Because people are tweeting now, and people are grabbing them up in Walmart, and people are doing this, and people are doing that, and they understand. They know a lot of people care, but it's their decision. It's their decision. So you know, I don't buy into that. I really don't. I think if A.J. Brown's coming to Ole Miss, he'd just as well do it in front of a gymnasium full of folks than he would in a broom closet in the janitor's office. Because,
I agree.
First and foremost is Starkville High School, and A.J. Brown has done so much for Starkville High School. And those kids in there, and a lot of times you can depend on kids more than grown folks, those kids are going to support A.J. Brown wherever they go, wherever he goes and decides to go. And I think most people will. It's that lunatic fringe that may try to make an issue of it. And honestly, I don't give those folks the time of the day. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, I was going to agree with you, David. I agree. You know, if he's going to commit to Ole Miss, Alabama, or Mississippi State, you know, he might as well, you know, do it in a gymnasium or in an office broom closet. It doesn't matter because whichever hat he does pick up, I mean, it's not like he is completely gone away from Starkville High School at that point. You know, he's gonna still finish out, you know, his final semester there at Starkville High School. So, you know, and I agree with you. I believe the majority of the support inside that community, wherever he chooses to go, will be fully supported behind him. And you're going to have very minimum, retaliation behind it.
And look, it's still up in the air where he is going to go. His father pointed out very, very intentionally yesterday that Mississippi State is still in this. And I'm looking at him face to face. Nobody asked him, is Mississippi State still in this? He said, look, we've taken officials to Ole Miss, Alabama, Cal, and Mississippi State is still in it. He brought that up. So don't discount them. I've been telling you that the whole time. Now, I crystal balled A.J. Brown to Ole Miss last week, and I still feel pretty darn good about it. And, you know, I think the Ole Miss staff feels good about it. Do they feel great about it? No. They don't feel great about it. You're not going to feel great about that until Wednesday when pen hits the paper, because there are so many things that can happen between now and then. And we're going to try to keep you abreast of it, but most of this stuff is going to go on behind the scenes. Coaches can't go see them face-to-face anymore, and the kids can't come to campus to see the coaches. All that is done with until after National Signing Day. So now it's just phone calls and social media. It's unlimited phone calls. So, I mean, Ole Miss can call A.J. Brown 15 times today if they want to. So can Mississippi State. So can Alabama. That's where things stand right now. But he's the big story going into National Signing Day. Of course, there are others. Jeffrey Simmons, but we still feel good about Jeffrey Simmons right now and where Ole Miss stands with the five-star defensive end from Knoxville County. So a wild and woolly 48 hours. That's what's about to happen here. Dave, you were able to at least see David Ruafatasaga yesterday on the Ole Miss campus, and he confirmed his commitment to Ole Miss. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Right. It was very brief, David. It was really when things were wrapping up. Now, a few weeks ago, I did talk to David Ruafatasaga, and, you know, he remained solid then. And I think he wanted to see, you know, he took an official visit to Utah as well previously. And I think the being able to visit Ole Miss for the first time really solidified that. Because I can tell you right now, after talking to him, one of David's biggest dreams, he told me that one of his biggest dreams was to play SEC football. And, you know, he was keeping his options out there because he had never visited the Ole Miss campus. He has a great relationship with the coaching staff, and I think that visit over the weekend really solidified that because you're able to see, you know, what you're coming for.
Okay. Well,
and I wanted to
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, before we move on to the next topic, I wanted to welcome Michael Court to the show. Michael, can you hear us?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been sitting back enjoying listening to this. I don't think I've seen David that riled up on a podcast yet.
Yeah, it's the ugly underside that comes out in me sometimes when I've been sleeping, 4 hours a night for the last 2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, that's a subject I'm passionate on. I cannot stand fans to bash these kids based on what their college decisions are. I mean, you know, I know what it takes for a kid to get there, to have the opportunity to play at that level. They just didn't wake up one morning after junior high prom and the good Lord sprayed Division I Power 5 football dust on them. They have busted their tails for this opportunity, and they own the right to decide where they're going to go play college football, and they ought to be able to do it without some lily-livered coward behind an anonymous screen name bashing them and their family and accusing them of taking money. That's all I got to say about that, guys. But it does. That kind of riles me up a little bit. These kids, most of these prospects are great kids. Okay, I mean you don't get to the top of your game in something without being self-disciplined. Look, they're all qualified to go to college. They're good students. And for a grown man behind an anonymous screen name to start cutting up a kid and his family by saying that a mom and dad basically sold their son. That's getting into soulful things right there. That's getting into territory that is just not good for anybody. So I don't like that kind of stuff. But anyway, I will get off my soapbox. Michael, let's talk a little bit about the weekend, your observations. You were at Camp Crute yesterday outside the Inn at Ole Miss along with the rest of us. Just your general thoughts on the weekend of recruiting Ole Miss had.
I definitely think after the weekend that I feel even better about Simmons. As you see with a lot of recruits, as I say, it comes down to relationships. And it appears that Simmons is pretty close with both Kiffin as well as Coach Barney. So I think we were all pretty confident in Simmons going into the weekend, and after the visit sort of solidified that. It'll be interesting to see what's going on with Nigel Knott and Shaheen Carter. I think a lot of us are sort of split on what's going to happen there, but almost the general consensus is that one goes to one school and one goes to the other. Just not sure if it's Alabama getting Nigel Knott or Alabama getting Shaheen Carter or the other way around. So that'll be certainly interesting to see. It was definitely a positive weekend for Ole Miss, and you didn't think that they were recruits were going to leave and say, oh man, all that free steak and lobster was just terrible, and getting put up in a nice hotel and all that was just the worst. But it certainly seemed like Ole Miss put themselves in good positions, and we've heard good vibes about some guys that maybe weren't so. A lot of folks didn't think Ole Miss was in on going into the weekend.
I did crystal ball Nigel Knott to Alabama this morning. I guess from about 7 till 9, I spent on the phone talking to various sources inside the state and outside the state and within Ole Miss and within those that cover Alabama recruiting. And, you know, you put the pig in the machine and the sausage that come out the other side is that, you know, the tea leaves are crimson colored this morning for Nigel Knott. Now, I'm not saying that's an end-all position. And you know, he could be announcing his college decision in 4 hours from now, probably less than 3 hours by the time you're listening to this podcast. But after talking to various and multiple sources this morning, I think Nigel Knott is going to commit to the University of Alabama. I would not be shocked if he commits to Ole Miss, but somewhat surprised based off what I've been told this morning. The other intel that's out there this morning, and I have posted this under the Rebel Rise already, is that things continue to look good with the nation's number one junior college prospect, defensive tackle Jonathan Conbo. And there's some people outside of the Ole Miss media pool that are starting to recognize that as well. So I wouldn't be surprised in the next day or so to start seeing some crystal balls kind of float over to Jonathan Conbo being aimed at Ole Miss, which would be a huge get. It would be as big of a get as anyone else in this class, in my opinion. He is an instant impact monster, I'm telling you, on that defensive line that's going to already be pretty good this fall. Jonathan Conbo would make it elite if, in fact, he signs with Ole Miss on Wednesday. And, you know, of course, we first reported that maybe Thursday night, that we were hearing very, very good vibes on Conbo. When he left his Florida State visit yesterday, he did tell the FSU media that he already knew where he was going, which coincides with what we were hearing towards the end of last week. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out between now and then. Dave, you were at Camp Crook this weekend. Your thoughts?
You know, I have to rather agree with Michael, you know, his perception of, and Ole Miss has built a strong relationship around Jeffrey Simmons. And I agree with you, David. I think Ole Miss is in it. I think Ole Miss is, in my opinion, the team to beat heading into National Signing Day. We've said before that, you know, it could be down to the wire, and that is possible. But, you know, as far as, you know, what you said before, I feel really good about Cheyenne Carter. I agree with you on that. And Deontay Anderson. I also feel Ole Miss is the team to beat for Anderson as well. So, you know, it was a great weekend. And as Michael pointed out, one of the commits that I talked to was Jalen Jones, and he gave that feedback of, you know, the eating too much. And I know, David, you've said in the past you've experienced that as well when Eli Johnson
took his
official
visit.
Oh,
hell yeah. I've eaten too much my whole life. Absolutely. No doubt about that. All right, so we know the next 48 hours, less than 48 hours, is going to be crazy. Okay, follow everything on the Rebel Rise. We'll keep you updated blow by blow, minute by minute, if that's what's going on. Michael, let's turn to something that you know a whole lot about, the Ole Miss basketball team. Not an impressive performance in Manhattan, Kansas, Saturday. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was a very strange game. Stephon Moody was held to a season low in points, and it was a neck and neck game until Moody went down with a minor injury, and then it was all Kansas State from there. They went on an 18-2 run, and it was sort of some strange clock management toward the end. Ole Miss was down by single digits inside the final minute, but allowed Kansas State to run the clock down and use an entire shot clock during that final minute. It was a very, very strange game. And unfortunately for Ole Miss, they weren't able to carry the momentum over from the Auburn blowout win. But this week should see Ole Miss finding out what's going to happen with Sebastian Saiz. He's going up for a follow-up visit with the doctors today, is what Andy Kennedy told me, and that will dictate how long he'll be out. Last week he had some fluid, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, had some fluid put into his eye, and then a few days later had the fluid taken out, and it was to stabilize the retina. And so now we're going to find out how long he'll be out, and that's sort of what Ole Miss has been trying to do, is tread water since he's been out. But as you can see, it's really been a struggle ever since that Florida game, playing without the SEC's second-leading rebounder.
So as far as the NCAA tournament goes, and I'm going to ask you this in my best Jim Carrey Lloyd voice off Dumb and Dumber, is there a chance? Tell me there's a chance, Michael. Tell me there's a chance.
Ole Miss would really have to get hot, which fortunately the schedule plays out a little easier. And there's of course the opportunity for a marquee win over Texas A&M still left on the schedule. But other than that, the schedule's pretty manageable. The chances have gotten slimmer and slimmer by the day as this stretch has been pretty rough. But we've also seen, in the two times that Ole Miss has been in the tournament, we've seen them go through some rough stretches, maybe not this rough, but there's some waning confidence from me that they'll make the tournament. They have a lot of work to do, but it's possible. It is possible.
Well, you know, today's February 1st, tomorrow's Groundhog Day, right? I mean, watching Ole Miss basketball is like Groundhog Day. It's almost the same story year in and year out. I mean, they're going to go into that SEC tournament. There's little doubt in my mind Andy Kennedy's team's about to get hot. And they're fixing to reel off consecutive numbers of wins.
I would say that you could also...
They're going to go into the SEC tournament, Michael, on the bubble. Either under the bubble, on the bubble, somewhere around the bubble. It's the same story every year. I mean, I'm not saying that in a critical fashion, but Groundhog Day, the same season almost keeps repeating itself with, you know, an exception every now and then. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You could also look at a different kind of varmint to compare the team to, and that's a whack-a-mole game, because you keep seeing guy after guy go down, and it's almost unprecedented in the Kennedy era of seeing this many key guys go down. And seeing Martavius Newby, who didn't even have an injury on his eye, it was just a condition that he had in high school that came back when he was a senior in college. And then Stephon Moody wasn't touched and just got injured pulling up to throw a pass late in the South Carolina game. And he's gotten battered and bruised all season long with a variety of different things. And then, of course, Sebastian Saiz getting poked in the eye and having to wear an eye patch now and all that. I mean, it's been crazy seeing all these different guys go down. There's been so many moving pieces. And maybe some guys that Andy Kennedy was hoping to ease into the rotation, like a Dante Fitzpatrick Dorsey or a Terrence Davis, they were sort of thrown overboard and right into the thick of it after all these injuries occurred, which will be a good thing for the team in the long run. But in the meantime, Andy Kennedy said there was a surreal moment when he looked out on the floor in Starkville and thought to himself, this is my basketball team. And that's got to be a hard thing for a coach to acknowledge.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to cut this one a little bit short today because of everything going on with the run-up to National Signing Day. And we certainly, as always, appreciate you all giving us a small part of your day to listen to us opine about your Ole Miss Rebels. And follow everything on the Rebel Rise as myself and Dave and Michael will effort over the next couple of days to keep you in the know on everything. So, for Michael Quirk, Dave Bevin, I'm David Johnson. Thank you for listening, and as always,